Hi, Andy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Andy Currums. He is the festival director for the International Youth Arts Festival. This is our first episode, so you've got to be great.
Okay.
No pressure.
No pressure
we
now.
We want some really interesting answers out of you.
Okay, I'll do my best.
So Andy started off as with the festival as a tree in the International Youth Arts Festival, and has grown to become a festival director. He was one of the founding members of By Moonlight, which makes classical text more accessible for young audiences, and has also done lots of great projects with Creative Youth, which is the charity that runs the International Youth Arts Festival.
Correct.
So how did you make the transfer from becoming a tree to the festival director? What's that trajectory?
Well, I first got involved when I was in my second year of Kingston Uni doing drama and creative writing. And when I was in my second year, it was the first year of IAF. And my tutor at the time was a guy called Frank Waitley, really, really wonderful, inspiring teacher. And they were doing this show called Pendragon, this musical show. And, you know, he was just doing shout-outs, you know, trying to get people to audition. So I auditioned, and I think I got in mainly just because I'm a boy, and they were short on boys. And I sort of managed to get my way through the musical audition, you know, the singing bit just. I can't really sing. Which became apparent in rehearsal. So in the end, they were like, oh, can you just, like, mime the songs? And can you be this tree? And I was like, okay, fine. But I really enjoyed the process, and then I was in it again in Frank's production the following year, which was The Revenge's Tragedy. And then I started getting more involved in the festival that way, and that's when By Moonlight started, when we graduated. And it was just such a great platform, a great risk-free platform for young companies and young people who don't have much money or, you know, don't know the ins and outs of how to put a show together or how to sell a show, that kind of stuff. So we started doing our own shows, and I wrote a couple of shows, and then they asked me to sort of lead some workshops on creative writing and reviewing on a volunteer basis, which I was really happy to do. And I sort of volunteered with the charity in a number of ways over the years, sort of moving more from doing shows into sort of backstage stuff, project management and stuff. And then last year, the job came up for festival director, and I applied for it, and for better or worse, they took me on, you know. That's yet to be seen.
And you must be sort of really thick in it at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty full on at the minute, yeah.
What advice would you give for the people that were coming for the first time, who just like you might be a tree or Village Number Six, or putting on their own show? What advice would you give to them?
I think The main thing, and the thing that I sort of regret about my first year of uni, is I was just a bit shy. I don't want to sound ridiculous, but I was a bit shy creatively. I didn't really want to take risks. Didn't really want to like put any ideas out there. I was so worried about, you know, them being shot down and stuff. So I didn't really get involved. And then it was at the end of my first year over the summer. I just went, oh, I've got to do something and get more involved. And IAF is exactly the same kind of thing. Like, one of the things I really like about IAF and about, you know, youth theatre projects in general is that, you know, much like a young football team or whatever, not everyone who's involved is going to go on to be an actor or a director. They may just go, you know, I had some fun doing it, but actually I've decided I'd rather do something else. But the skills you learn there of, you know, working in a team, working on your own, coming up with ideas, being able to criticise other people's ideas constructively or whatever, I think are so, so key. And so, you know, the only advice I would give to people coming to IAF who are putting on shows is, like, just be brave. Like, IAF is the place to take risks, you know. If you've got some crazy idea for a show, do it. Like, even if you just think, oh, we want to do this musical, this classic musical, but, you know, or with puppets, do it. This is the place to take those risks, you know. And it might not work, or it might be amazing. I'm sure it will be amazing.
And you think that's what makes IAF kind of stand out from other festivals, the fact that it's like a platform for young people to take these first sort of steps?
I think so, yeah. Brighton Fringe we do a lot of work with, and they're amazing, great festival. Edinburgh Fringe, you know, I've been going a long time, great stuff, you know, loads of arts festivals around the world, music festivals and stuff, they're all great. But the thing with IAF and with young people and young theatre in general is that kind of I don't want to sound patronising, but like that unbridled kind of creativity, that they haven't sort of been, they're not worried yet about, like, business decisions. You know, they're not worried yet about, you know, oh, how are we going to market this to an audience? They've just got something they have to say. They've got something creatively that they have to get out of their system. And, you know, IF is the place to do it, you know. And a lot of it is, you know, kids come along and they want to do Oliver Twist, which is great, and they should. But some people come along and they want to do, like, some weird thing where you're, like, inside someone's mind and, like, you know, all this crazy stuff, and it's great, yeah. So, I think that's exactly what I like about IF anyway, yeah.
What companies have you seen that have really sort of jogged your imagination this year that you think, wow, okay, that's one that I'm definitely going to have to go, or a few that I'm going to have to go and see at the festival?
Well, there's so much. I mean, this year we've got 70 visiting companies.
And how many people applied?
About 100, 120, yeah. 100, around 100 probably.
Yeah.
So we've got 70 visiting companies doing, you know, theatre, music, dance. And then over the course of 10 days, we've got about 250 events. So those 70 visiting companies are mainly theatre, comedy stuff. And then we've got all the free music and that kind of stuff. And there's so much. I wouldn't want to say one over the other, but, you know, looking through all the applications, some of them, I was just like, that sounds awesome. Like, and I, you know, I go to the theatre quite a lot and I get out quite a lot. And, you know, when I was going through the applications, mainly meter was, is this something that if I read about this, I would want to genuinely go see? And I can say quite confidently that all the shows in it are definitely ones that me and the rest of the team, we read it and go, yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, we have to go see that. But instead of going, it's good to see it, we're just going to make them do it on our doorstep so we don't have to go anywhere.
And what have been the challenges so far for you in terms of putting on this festival? I know it must be hard to reflect because you're literally right in the middle, I guess, aren't you?
Yeah.
But so far, what have been the sort of surprise challenges?
I mean, well, as I'm sure, you know, anyone who works in youth theatre will know, not wanting to teach anyone to suck eggs, because there's a lot of young people, there is, you know, a lot of red tape, you know, with, as well there should be, with, you know, safety and, you know, making sure that all the young people know where they are and that we know where they are and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, a unique challenge to youth theatre, I think. In terms of things that I found challenging, it's just, there's obviously a lot to consider, you know, 70 companies who all need a tech, all need a dress rehearsal, all need, you know, show slots, all need, you know, a couple of shows where we can guarantee them a good audience, that kind of thing. So it's a bit of a challenge, you know, a bit of a balancing act, you know, trying to make sure everyone can get the best that they can at the festival. But it's a super exciting one. It's a super fun challenge.
Yeah. And where do you see YF going? Where do you see the festival?
Yeah.
Do you think it's still going to be around in 10, 15 years' time? And if so, where do you picture it being?
I think so. I think the dream for me, you know, because it has been getting bigger every year and it's, you know, and what would be great is, you know, big pipe dream would be that there are international youth arts festivals that happen internationally, you know, that, you know, there's not just the one in Kingston, but there's one in Dusseldorf or, you know, wherever, you know, we have a lot of companies come over from South Carolina. It would be great if one day we can somehow work with them and there's an international youth arts festival there, so it's easier for American companies to do their stuff. That would be amazing. Similarly, you know, on a sort of business side of stuff, I would like to get it to a point where, no offence because it's wonderful that I'm doing this interview, but it'd be great to get to a point where people don't know or care who the festival director is. They just know that IF is, you know, great. You know, like in the big wide world, no one who knows who the director of Edinburgh Fringe is, really, you know, outside of the industry. Everyone just goes, oh, Edinburgh Fringe, I know that's awesome, so we've got to go. So that would be great. If IF became like such a strong, self-sufficient brand, that would be amazing.